We welcome you back here at halftime, live at the Yanatelli Center. Monmouth leading St. Peter's 30-16. And fans, for all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the Asbury Park Press by visiting app.com/subscribe. If you do that, you can read the great work of the gentleman who is joining me here at halftime, Monmouth beat writer Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press. Josh, how you doing on this Sunday?
I'm good, Eddie. How are you?
Good. Easy ride up, and we got to see... I know we showed you the picture. Apparently, when they plow the roads up here in Jersey City, if you're the last man standing on the block, you ain't leaving.
That's any city. Like, I don't know, like, if there's a snowstorm, you cannot have your car on the street like that because they will plow you in.
There is a garage attached to the Yanatelli Center, and we'll get to the game in a second. Some poor gentleman, it looks like from two snows ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about 7 feet over his car. We saw him chipping away. He's going to be doing the same thing, I know, when we leave.
You're going to need some warm weather to even think about making a dent in all that ice.
He needs rain and sun right away.
Yes.
As here, we'll focus on this first 20 minutes. Monmouth does lead St. Peter's 30-16, but Josh, for the longest time, this was kind of a repeat of Friday night offensively for MU. I saw you tweeted it out, and very accurately so. The Hawks using their defense to turn to offense for this now double-digit lead.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a slow start for both sides. Then Monmouth went, you know, well, they've been switching back and forth between man and 2-3. At one point early in the first half, they went to a 2-3, and St. Peter's was, you know, they were completely stymied. I mean, they went 1-for-11 from 3 to open the game. They were getting no clean looks. You know, they didn't really have any kind of, plan to solve a zone defense, and, you know, the defense was turning into offense. I thought Monmouth did a good job of getting steals and getting out in transition and finishing at close range.
And to your point, they force 8 St. Peter's turnovers. They limit the Peacocks to just about 27% shooting, and they turn those turnovers into 8 points. And the bigger stat that I didn't even realize, MU out-rebounded St. Peter's 27-14, 12-4 offensively. Josh, a 13-3 advantage in second-chance points. So MU isn't burning up the nets either, but they're doing enough to get this lead.
Yeah, I mean, St. Peter's is a very, very, very good defensive team, but if their offense, their offense is the reason why they're 4-9 in the MAC. I feel like Monmouth has done a good job of boxing out, finding a man to get a body on, and they're not allowing any second chance points either. You know, if you're gonna lose to St. Peter's, it better not be because of the Peacocks' offense, and Monmouth has done a good job of that.
As Josh said, Hawks lead 30-16, and if you look at the Monmouth leading scorers, kind of the two names we were hoping to see and do is Deion Jones and Andrew Nicholas go for 9 each. They combined to shoot 8 of 16. I think that's the biggest thing. They didn't need a whole bunch of points. You get 16 shots turned into 18 points from your two leading guys. Coach Rice has to like that.
And they've also done a good job of not settling. You know, those two guys, Nicholas and Jones, sometimes they have a tendency to settle and shoot from the perimeter. But I thought Nicholas especially, you know, a conscious effort to get to the rim and draw some contact and just to get it on the rim to give the big guys a chance to, you know, to grab a rebound if there might be. They're not settling for jumpers, which is, it's been a key for them all season. King Rice does not want those two settling, and they're not doing that today.
Yeah, they've been going to the basket all first half. And the time Deion Jones, he only attempted 1-3 and he made it. You liked it because he had gone to the basket so many times. His player had kind of backed off of him a little bit. I think Deion was surprised how open he was, just rise and fire. I know that's when Coach likes that shot taken, with Deion and Redigan leading the way each with 9. Josh, this game huge for MU. They're tied with St. Peter's for 8th in the league standings. We talked about Friday night's game being a must win. I know we just played 20 minutes, but MU really needs to get this one for, if nothing else, confidence reasons. But they got to start to make that move back up the MAC standings.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the term must win unless, you know, it's a playoff game or a tournament game or if you're looking for seeding. But, you know, it's gotten to the point, you know, 4 straight losses. They lost, you know, that was a bad, bad loss on Friday night to a Fairfield team that's in last place in the MAC. You know, you've gotten to the point now, you know, it's almost the middle of February. You got to win a game like this, you know, on the road against presumably an inferior opponent. If you're Monmouth, you know, 4 straight losses against, you know, a team that you probably should beat. This is a game that they really need to get this game. That's just the bottom line.
Speaking with Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press, and Josh, when you look at the upcoming schedule, I guess you say no favors, but you got to play them at their place anyway. And on Valentine's Day, Monmouth will be at Iona, their next game out. Then 4 in a row at home. You look at those 4. Marist, Manhattan, St. Peter's, Niagara. If you're MU, you got to maybe get three of those games. The one you're going to struggle with is Manhattan, which MU didn't play bad at their place. But you look at those other ones, and it's no stretch to think that Monmouth shouldn't win three of those four before finishing the year. It's at Siena.
There's no doubt. I mean, the schedule's been kind of quirky. You know, they're in the middle of 8 of 11 on the road. As you said, they're going to go home for four, and you have to take care of home. As you said, you know, Marist, St. Peter's, and Niagara, three games presumably. If you're at home, you should probably take care of business. You know, the Manhattan game, the first meeting back in December, you know, they were up 9 at the half at their place. You know, I think you really hit the nail on the head. If you're Monmouth, you should probably get three out of those four.
And we don't want to play too much of the numbers game, but we're not coaches, so we can do that. You know, we can look at the kind of this breakdown as it gets down. And you figure if you're Monmouth, you hang on to get this win, you got five in the league. You get those three, that's 8. Maybe you sneak another 1-9. But I think 8-12, first year in the MAC, would be good enough for a fairly decent, you know, at least you're not talking 10-11 at that point. You're talking 7-8-9.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Even at 8-12, I mean, depending on how things break right, maybe you could sneak into the 6. But I think you're right. You know, 8-12, that, you know, that puts you at 7-8-9. And if you're 7, if you win a first-round MAC tournament game, you're avoiding the 1 seed in the next round. You know, that's something to think about. Again, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, this win, you get 3 out of 4. You finish 8-12, maybe 9-11, who knows. You're probably thinking 7-8-9.
And, you know, MU is normally good for that one or two big, at least recently it seems, big home win against upper-level conference opponents. LIU Brooklyn a couple years ago.
They had Canisius. Right.
So maybe that magic's there, but if not, you never know how the schedule could break out. Is Josh, final question from me. Monmouth on top by 14, 30-16. I know whenever we talk, we try to forecast out. If you're MU, you come out final 20, do you just keep doing what you're doing? Or at this point, I mean, St. Peter's might not score 30 in the game. Do you just try to cut the game in half?
You know, you're not going to score a lot of points on St. Peter's. Like, this game cannot be about trying to outscore St. Peter's. You need to play defense and make sure they're not scoring either. They only average about 63 points a game. If you can hold them to, you know, low to mid-50s, you're probably in pretty good shape if your mom is. You know, this game is not about offense. This game needs to be about defense.
Hawks on top 30-16. It was all defense in the first half. Fans, check out Josh's column, an article in tomorrow's paper, but I know on tonight on the Hawks Nest blog on APP.com. Does a great job covering MU. Josh, as always, buddy, thanks for joining me.
I appreciate it, Eddie.
Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press joining us here on our halftime show presented by Surf Taco. Good food, good people, and good vibe. As we'll take, sorry about that, Brian, we'll take another break here at halftime with Monmouth on top 30-16. When we come back, Gary Kowal will take a look at first half stats, as well as the out-of-town scoreboard after a 60-second timeout here on the Shore Sports Network.
Back here at the Anatelli Center, about 5 minutes from the start of the second half. Here between Monmouth and St. Peter's, the Hawks with a 30-16 lead over the Peacocks. Let's take a check on the out-of-town scoreboard presented by Coke Zero. Coke Zero, enjoy everything. Apart from this game, just two other games in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference this afternoon. At the break, a lot higher scoring than we've played here in Jersey City. Canisius 50, Iona 43. Those are two teams that like to get up and down the floor. That was destined to be a high-scoring contest from the outset. About 4 minutes to go in the first half and the only other MAC game going on this afternoon. Manhattan with a three-point lead out at Niagara. So two games in Buffalo and one here in New Jersey between two New Jersey squads, and the Hawks with a 14-point advantage. And let's run through some stats and see how we got there. The Hawks, with the 14-point lead, shot 13 of 34, 38% from the floor. MU only shooting four balls from beyond the arc. Deion Jones knocking down MU's only three-pointer of half number one. The Hawks also shoot 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Team stats for St. Peter's, they shoot 6 of 22 from the floor, good for just over 27%. 1 of 11 from downtown, 9%, not going to get it done as the Hawks went zone and have prevented St. Peter's from getting inside. In turn, St. Peter's has missed a lot of three-pointers. St. Peter's is also 3 of 7 from the free throw line, just under 43%. Hawks dominating the points in the paint, 22-10, as well as second chance opportunities, 13-3. MU leads in that category. Nobody from St. Peter's bench has scored. MU with a 7-0 advantage in that column. individually. Hawks two players with 9 points in that opening half. Deion Jones shooting 4 of 9, also added 3 rebounds. And Andrew Nicholas shot 4 of 7 and picked up 5 boards and an assist. Nicholas playing 19 out of the 20 minutes in the opening half. Elsewhere for MU, Chris Brady picked up 5 rebounds. And Zach Tillman with 4 early points for the Hawks, shooting 2 of 4 from the floor. St. Peter's, like I said, has only gotten contributions offensively from 5 players. Nobody from St. Peter's bench has scored. 5 points for Desi Washington. He's the leading scorer for the Peacocks. 2 of 7 from the floor, just 1 of 5 from downtown. He's got 5. 4 points for Marvin Dominique on 2 of 5 shooting. He's missed a pair of triples. 5 rebounds leads the way for the Peacocks. That came from Chris Burke. So overall, it was a first half where things kind of started slowly. A lot of fouls were called, but Monmouth able to kind of dominate the last 10 or 11 minutes of the opening stanza. The Hawks out rebounding St. Peter's 27-14, including 12-4 on the offensive glass. They've done a great job down low, picking up second chance opportunities. As I touched on, the Hawks with a 13-3 lead in second chance points. Hawks' largest lead is what it stands at right now, a 14-point advantage, but it didn't seem like it was going to be that way from the outset, as MU kind of battled through the first few minutes offensively before really getting it going, and they've done a great job both from the outside and working the ball down low on the offensive side of things. Well, we will take a 60-second timeout when we come back. The second half of action between MU and St. Peter's. This is MU Basketball on the Shore Sports Network.